Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Ralph Garay as a guest. Today is episode number 2. Ralph is the Asian Church Planting Consultant at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. If you haven't listened to episode 1, please listen to it. You can hear Ralph's life story, how he came to Christ, and how he decided to become a full-time pastor. Today, we want to hear from him about his current ministry. Hello, Ralph.
Hello, Sammy. Thank you again for bringing me back here. Thank you for what you do.
Thanks so much for coming again. I have questions about your ministry. Now, before we talk about your current ministry, can you tell us about your ministry before coming to North Carolina?
Oh, yes. In the Philippines, I started pastoring there around 1987, 88, and I went back to my home church, became an associate pastor, and then the last 2 years, I think I spent there, I became the lead pastor. And then I went to San Diego. I pastored there, a Filipino church, for 11 years. Mm. And then that's when I got a call to start my work and ministry here in North Carolina Baptist as Asian Church Planting Consultant.
So what do you say the difference between planting, church ministry in Philippines and church ministry in San Diego?
There's a big difference. Mm. There in the Philippines, you get more volunteers in a sense that there are more people who are available as far as time is concerned. Mm-hmm. And in San Diego, most of the people are working, so more structured time. Mm-hmm. You can still, you also get volunteers, but it's more structured in San Diego. In the Philippines, it's more, free, and you can call people anytime, and if they're available, they can, meet you. And in the Philippines, you don't need to, make appointments there, during my time. So you can knock on their doors anytime, you can visit them anytime. But in America, you have to make an appointment to see them, and then you have to mention the right place, the right time, and what's the purpose, But in the Philippines, you just want to meet, and even without mentioning what's the purpose, and, just have conversation like that.
So Filipinos in Philippines and Filipinos in America, are they different?
Yeah, they're the same in culture and as far as perspectives, mm-hmm. but their behaviors have changed because of the environment they're in. So more structured in America, unstructured in the Philippines.
So you have to make an appointment with Filipino Americans.
Yes, I have to make appointments to see them and to have a meeting with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the last episode, you explained about how you came to the United States. Now, can you tell us about how you came to North Carolina?
Wow. Again, that's another exciting part. So I was already 11 years in that Filipino church in San Diego. Mm-hmm. But during the time, me and my wife were already talking, it seems like there's something that God wants us to do or wants me to do. It's either, what is this? Is this about maybe continue with my seminar education? Is it about another church or another place? So that's our conversation during the time. And then in the midst of that, there's a call that came to me from North Carolina. He introduced himself, Ken Holland. He was the church planting team leader at the time. He introduced himself and his intent that they are praying for an Asian church planting consultant, and they're asking me if I could consider to be an Asian church planting consultant. And so I asked him, what does a consultant do? And then he described, he gave me a picture of, you know, what does a consultant do. While he was describing to me over the phone, what does a consultant do? You know, I'm seeing myself, and I said, that's me, you know. So I just said that to myself, that's me. This guy is describing me, you know, what I love to do, what I want to do. And, you know, and then so after the before the conversation ended, he said, will you pray for this invitation? And so I said, yes, I'll pray. I'll mention this to my wife. And but at the back of my mind, I said, really, there's no need to pray, because as if, you know, God was already speaking to me that this is my invitation. This is what I want you to do. Wow. And then the process of course, asking me with, you know, some stuff that they need from me, I comply with it. And then God brought me here. So, you know, through that call.
Wow. That's great. Now, what is your role, current role? And what do you do mostly? How do you spend your time mostly?
Yes, number one, I would say, it's really connecting with church planters and pastors who are, you know, doing the church ministry and just growing friendships and relationship with them, encouraging them. And in that level of relationship, I discover their desire to plant churches. To plant, maybe they've discovered a community of a group of people that they sense a call from God to reach. And then that's where my role with North Carolina Baptist comes in. Because my role is to discover church planters whom God called to reach a specific group of people here in North Carolina. And then, so when I discover that through my conversation and relationship and friendship with pastors and church planters and with director of missions and our missions partners here in North Carolina, in relating with them and then discovering that they have a desire, they have a sense of call to reach a specific group of people, a specific community, then that's when my role comes in, sharing with them resources like training. We do training, we do assessing, and also we do funding for church planters and mentoring or coaching.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you mentioned about discover those church planters. Can you give us like some examples, like how you discover that person is going to be church planter?
Yes, yeah. So in my conversation with the director of missions or pastors of established churches, and also those who are planting churches, then in our conversation, something would trigger, like they would mention, oh, there's a specific, there's a people group there that we want to reach. We sense God is bringing them to our attention, that God wants us to reach them. So our next question is, who do you think God, you know, has called to reach or to lead a church planting team in reaching this group of people or this community? And then sometimes the person, the pastor, the planter that I asked is the answer to that question.
Okay.
And then, so if he would say, oh, I sense God's calling me there, then I begin to look at the first step, which is assessing. Assessing is asking the question, why? You know, why are you the church planter that God wants to use? So I'm asking you that question. Why do you think you are the church planter that God wants to use to reach a specific group of people?
Right.
So the assessment side is answering the question, why? Why that specific group of people? Why that people group? Why that community? You know, why are you planting a church to reach that group of people? Why are you that church planter?
Can you explain a little bit about that training and funding part as well?
Yeah, the training that we do is what we call multiply church planting training. it helps them clarify their calling from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where we want to start. We want to work with church planters who have a sense of call from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people who enter ministry with some other motives.
Mm-hmm.
We want 100% motivation of a sense of call from God. That the reason you're planting a church is because you know it's God who called you. It's not your wife who called you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your friend who called you. It's not the denomination who called you. It's not the funding
mm-hmm.
or the money that's calling you to mm-hmm. plant a church, but it's God.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our training, we help them clarify that calling from God. And then from there, we help them have clarity of the vision
mm-hmm.
God has given them, and to have clarity of that vision and to cast that
mm-hmm.
vision clearly and with compelling passion,
mm-hmm.
Sharing it with others. And also we train them in the area of missional engagement, how to connect with the lost people, and also help them clarify their values, what's important to them. Values answer the question, why are you doing what God has called you to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the reason behind this? And also we help them in the area of friend raising or fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And also we remind them that church planting is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
They need bold faith. They need to have established prayer partnership system.
Mm-hmm.
They need to gather as many prayer partners
mm-hmm.
because nothing will be accomplished in church planting without prayer, without
That's
dependence
right.
on God,
mm-hmm.
because church planting is God's work. It's
mm-hmm.
God's movement, you know, in among the His people that He's trying to draw unto Himself. And also we talk about systems and structures.
Mm-hmm.
There are many pastors and planters that, you know, they have skills to preach, to teach, to even disciple. They know how to love people, but they get stuck in a certain level of growth,
mm-hmm.
and it's because it's an issue of systems and structures.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really studied and established expansive system, you know, to help people move people into serving the Lord, knowing God, and reaching the lost and making disciples. So, and we talk about multiplication in different level, multiplying themselves as church planters, multiplying leaders, multiplying disciple makers, and multiplying churches, which is really the spillover of, you know, what you are doing in the church that you are planting.
Mm.
And then we also provide funding, so there's an application process for that,
mm-hmm.
and if they get approved, you know, we have what we call full-time funding, and also part-time funding, and also second field funding. So it differs based on your level of commitment, you know, in church planting.
Wow, that is really great. Well, I mean, this question can be very fundamental question. Now, what is church planting and why is it so important?
Yeah, church planting, the bottom line of church planting is really reaching a specific group of people, families, individuals, people in that community to plant the gospel. So church planting is making connection with the lost people so we can plant the gospel, we can share the gospel in their lives, and then we can disciple them,
mm-hmm.
and then disciple them to make disciples. And then in the process, as they learn to make disciples, then we help them, we train them and equip them to become leaders of disciple makers.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a result of that, we see there's a movement of multiplication that happens among the disciples and also to the people that they're reaching. And then as a result of disciple making,
mm-hmm.
Planting the gospel, we see a church established.
Mm-hmm.
The body of Jesus Christ, a local community gathering together, committed to follow Christ, to know Christ, and to partner with Christ in His mission.
Mm. Well, we're living in the South, North Carolina. Yeah. It's called the Bible Belt. I assume that there are a lot of churches, but do you see the need of church planting still in North Carolina?
Yes, there's a need of church planting in North Carolina, mm-hmm. because in reality, in North Carolina, just within the North Carolina Baptist, we have more than 4,000 mm-hmm. Churches, mm-hmm. established churches, 4,300 churches, more or less. And but there's 5.6 million lost people who doesn't identify with any local church in wow. in North Carolina. So mm-hmm. just imagine millions of people who's not connected to any church mm-hmm. and they consider themselves as no relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the major reasons why we need to plant more churches in North Carolina, because church planting is the most effective tool mm-hmm. That God has given mm-hmm. us to reach lost people mm-hmm. with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Because according to study, new churches baptize 10 people out of 100 members mm-hmm. of that new church. Oh. But established churches only baptize 2 new believers mm-hmm. out of 100 members mm-hmm. of the church. Because based on their study, mm-hmm. after 15 years, the church has been established, mm-hmm. you know, the numbers just go down. Mm-hmm. In average, most of the churches. Mm-hmm. So that means if we plant more new churches, mm-hmm. you know, we have the potential mm-hmm. to reach more mm-hmm. Lost people with the gospel of mm-hmm. Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and disciple more mm-hmm. and then plant more mm-hmm. in the future.
Wow, that's great. Now, your official title is Asian Church Planting Consultant.
Yes.
But your work is not really confined to Asian church planting only.
Yes.
Correct? Can you tell us a little more about that? What kind of ethnic groups you're working with? And
yeah, aside from, primarily I work with Asian church planters, but aside from that, we have European mm-hmm. church planters like Russian, mm-hmm. Ukrainian, Moldovan, Romanian, mm-hmm. and also African mm-hmm. church planters like Congolese, and Nigerian, Kenyan, and also we have Pakistani, mm-hmm. we have Iranian, mm-hmm. and they also need help. They need partners. Mm-hmm. They need mentors. They need coaches, right. And they also need funding. Mm-hmm. So and training, so we help and partner with them. So, so aside from my work as working primarily with Asian church planters, I work with them because we as North Carolina Baptists, we exist to assist churches mm-hmm. in the planting of disciple-making churches that will make disciples mm-hmm. to plant more disciple-making churches in mm-hmm. the future.
That's great. Now, in your ministry, what are the most exciting things? Can you tell us some more about stories, like exciting story?
Yeah, you know, there's just recently there's an exciting part of, you know, my work that really made me say, God, thank you so much for your patience and for your wisdom. So I was consulting with this church planter, and he's been in church planting like for almost 2 years now. No baptism. He's reaching a difficult group of people, intellectuals coming from atheist background, but you know, he's gaining ground. He's connecting with them. Mm-hmm. He's inviting them to different events, but he's not seeing baptism, mm-hmm. And so I've been meeting with him. We've been praying. We've been talking about what are the challenges that he face or he's facing. What are the things that, you know, he's doing, you know, to overcome those challenges. And so I just walk alongside, you know, with him. And so we pray together. We talk about some strategies that we feel God, you know, wants us to try. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks ago, I met up with him, mm-hmm. and then he shared with me that, you know, they just baptized new believers in That's Jesus awesome. Christ and said, oh, wow, this is amazing. Mm. And of course, to be honest, there was a time, there were, you know, some moments in my relationship with him that almost like I'm giving up. I'm sensing like maybe there's no hope, you know, with this church planting partnership. But I realize God has a perfect time, perfect ways, and it's God's work. And as long as we know our hearts is attuned with Him, we want to follow Him, we want to obey Him. In God's time, God's way, for His glory, we'll see, you know, fruits of His work in us and through us. And there are many more stories that's amazing and exciting. But for me, that's, I think, the highlight so far.
That is exciting and very encouraging at the same
time.
Thank you so much. Now, what are the biggest challenges in your ministry?
I think the biggest challenges is really going into the pattern that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And that's the pattern of disciple making in churches. Because many of our church planters and even pastors coming from different backgrounds, they have a perspective of a church that meets on Sunday and then they do ministries on that day, and in between that also they would do some ministry meetings, but they're not really seeing disciples made, you know, in their process. They've seen people that come to their events, but not really sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on their own or in their offices, in their neighborhood, and they're not discipling anybody. So I would say that's the biggest challenge. Going back to the model that Jesus Christ showed us, making disciples, going back to the Word of God and really obeying the Word of God, you know, and also trusting the Holy Spirit that He is able, that we can depend on Him. Because if we desire people, lost people, to come to know Christ, it is His utmost desire. God is more desirous than us, you know, to see lost people to come to know Christ and to for them to be discipled, to follow Christ, and to fully experience the life of Christ in them.
Well, thank you, Ralph, so much for sharing your stories today. And in the next episode, we're going to hear more about Ralph's future vision for Asian American ministries as church planting consultant. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update as well. And I will see you in the next episode.